Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean. Danny, I feel like I'm a snooty traveler now.
You're going to start getting, like, free upgrades and shit, or you're going to start knowing flight attendants by name.
It's not even that. It's just, like, I get in line, like, I know exactly, like, what time to leave my house, like, to get through all the traffic, but the worst part is, like, I'm just, like, I get so angry when I get to, like, pre-TSA and, like, baggage check when people don't have their shit together.
Like, oh, man.
I'm just so mad now.
Right, especially at pre-TSA, that's like going through the express lane and needing to speak to the manager.
Oh my god. It's like, do I take my laptop out? I'm like, do you just not listen to what they've been yelling for the last 10 minutes? 5 minutes?
Oh. Well, they didn't say my name, so I didn't think they were specifically talking to me.
Pretty much. I'm just like, you know, I get, like, all, because, like, literally, as soon as they give me my stuff back, it's in my wallet, my phones are already in my laptop bag, I get my wallet in there, I get, like, everything in there, like, I'm ready to go, I'm just like, come on, just put me in, coach, put me in, I'm ready to go, I got shit to do, I want to go eat,
right.
I want to watch TV on my phone while I wait for this stupid plane.
Like, I don't know what's worse, though, like, the people that aren't ready, like, on the front end of the on the TSA check, or the people on the back end once everything goes through the scanner that, like, literally stop right on the other side of the scanner to put their shoes and belts and everything on.
Instead of, like, pulling it all the way to the side to, like, an empty location where they could take their time.
Yes. And they're never in a hurry, so, like, they have to get yelled at multiple times, too. Can you please go somewhere else? Can you move on? Move up. And meanwhile, there's like a crowd of like 10 people just standing there staring at them, and they're like, what? Yeah. I gotta get my stuff together. Why are you guys looking at me? Quit being assholes.
Yeah. The one girl that was like, do I have to take my laptop out? I literally walked around her and put it into the machine and walked through the metal detector. I didn't wait. I went full savage.
I mean, it's a justifiable excuse. I mean, the only thing that you would have been in the wrong if you did as if you shoulder checked her on the way by.
Peasant, get the fuck out of the way. we ain't got the time. It's like, it's just so funny because I'm just like, I gotta go. It's like, even like at, I land, I'm just like, just waiting for people to leave. They're just like lost and looking for their baggage. I'm like, how'd you lose your bag? You put it up in the rack. Like, you know which rack you put it in. Just come on. They gotta, like, they stand up and grab everything. They do, like, the hip check, you know. Is my phone? Do I have my wallet? I'm just like, what are we doing, man? Like, people are trying to get off this plane. We need to go.
All right, it's especially worse if people have layovers, and it's like, come on, dude. You're taking up my precious life. Or when you get to the actual baggage claim, and there's, like, 80% of the plane is gathered within the first 3 feet of the carousel.
That is true. It's so bad. Like, everybody's right at the entrance. I'm like, you know, it's like, if you have Delta, then you're going to get your bag by the time you walk over there most of the time, and then everybody else, you're just fucked. You just wait. And hopefully you're not trying to, hopefully you don't land at Detroit where it takes, like, 30 minutes to get your bag, because that's a fun time. That's a real fucking fun time.
Right, that's like, whenever I fly and I land at my destination airport, I'll usually go and stop and go do my tinky-poo-poo business, and then, like, just kind of stroll to the baggage carousel, because by the time I get there, I usually have to wait, like, a couple minutes anyways. Mm-hmm. But then you have other people, like, running, and it's like, like, I would expect if someone was meeting you here that you were, like, anxious to see them, but you're still standing there by yourself, so you're not going to miss anything. It's not like there's a 30-second window to pick up your bag, or else they, like, burn it. Yeah,
exactly. And if you're flying, like, American, that bag ain't gonna be there for a long fucking time. Same thing with, like, and I've flown Spirit and American to, like, Detroit, and it's, like, multiplied. It's, like, Detroit tax, their tax, like, you're fucked. It's, like, 45 minutes. Like, you're just, like, you're, like, wondering. You feel like you could walk outside and go find your bag faster than it is to get it pulled out and put on the conveyor.
You might as well just sit down, get yourself something to eat, and maybe have a beer or two.
It'd be a wiser use of your time at this point.
At least at that point, you'll be fed and maybe have a little bit of buzz, and you'll be in a great mood.
Now I know why there's a bar in the fucking baggage claim area in Terminal North at Detroit. It's for you to go fucking have a beer, because you're going to be waiting 45 minutes. I fucking finally get it now. I was always wondering why there's a fucking bar down there.
Boom. New York was the same way.
Boom. Yeah, you ain't going to get your bag. You might as well go have a beer.
Or for the people waiting for the people to get their bags, they're like, well, their plane said it was supposed to land at like 5, and it's like 5:45. We're probably going to be here for another half hour anyways. I'm going to get a couple beers.
Yeah, so if you see me angry behind you, it means you're fucking up. Just like, get your shit and get out. Hurry up.
Yeah, I saw... for that. I saw somebody on the road, and they had a sticker on the behind the driver's side, like under their window, and it was like, "If I'm passing you on the right, you're the asshole."
Yeah.
So, in all your travels, Sean, did you have time to get a beer today?
I don't know. I don't know if I had time to get a beer.
I'm gonna say that as a no. So, a hard no.
Hard no.
A very hard no.
I feel like I chose poorly. Like, I didn't do enough research into choosing my beer. Because I got the Anderson Valley Brewing Company Blood Orange Gose. I just saw Gose, and I was like, alright, I'm getting this.
You're sticking to type, huh?
Yep, I'm sticking the type nice and hard. Mm-hmm. I just don't get, like, the orangey taste. I think I'm just, like... It's like, I had the Urban Artifact Orange Gose, and, like... I'm just spoiled now. Like, there's nothing. Like, orange goze means fucking nothing to me now.
you can taste the peels versus the extract versus the juice.
It just tastes like goze and disappointment. Like, if you added some salt and some... Not, like, metaphorically salt.
Your salty, salty tears from your disappointment.
Yeah, it just tastes like salt. Like, I don't know. There's no blood orange. I don't taste shit.
That's a poor that decision. Sucks.
Poor decision.
You should have just got the plain Gose with the
I guess so.
lemon and salt.
I shouldn't have got Anderson Valley.
Maybe that was your first mistake.
I didn't even realize it was a California brewery until I got back to the hotel. I'm like, oh, I fucked up. Could have had so much.
A fresher beer that didn't have to travel across the country.
Yeah, dude, there was a New England IPA by Nickel Brewing that I was thinking about getting, and then River Horse had a watermelon Kolsch, but I'm not really big into, like, the watermelon beer, so I was like, I don't really know if I want, like, a six-pack of that. And then right. I saw Blood Orange Gose, and I'm like a fucking moth to the flame. On this shit, and it fucking burnt me.
You got a little too close, huh, there, Icarus?
I sure did. Hopefully you chose better than me.
Oh, man. So, Sean, I've decided to go a little old school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking a...
Cobra?
Ode Goose Boon. A Guza, but it's spelled G-E-U-Z-E. Mm-hmm. It's not a kettle Guza.
Okay.
By Brewery Boone in Lambink, Belgium. It's a traditional Ode Goose that was brewed on April 16th, 2014. Wow. Bottled on April 18th, 2016. So it was brewed on 2014, bottled on 2016. Mm. And I have to drink it before... I'm glad I'm drinking it because I didn't want it to go bad because I have to drink it by... April 19th of 2036.
Mm. Yeah, you don't really have that much time left, so it's good on you to not waste that beer.
So it was like, but it was aged in an oak cask. In 1935, they put cognac in that barrel and let it age until they brewed it in 2014. So basically, a 30-year aged cognac. Was in the barrel.
Wow.
And then they took the cognac out, put the beer in, let that age for 2 years. And they, after they took the cognac out, they shaved the barrel on the inside to like get more penetration for the liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And you can definitely it's like a sour. It's got that soury taste to it. And you can, I was trying to figure out what that taste was. That not off taste, but definitely something different that I'm not used to. And it's that cognac.
Mm. Nice. How much does this bottle cost you?
$23 for a 375 milliliter bottle or 12.7 ounce bottle.
Okay, that is a little bit more. That is a pretty decent price. I was like, that's not bad for a bomber.
Yeah, I would do the math, but math is hard according to Barbie, and I agree with her. So, you know the good news, though, Sean.
What is the good news?
I have a second one of these in my refrigerator that I can that age even longer.
Nice. You could do it. You could drink it in like 10 years and see if it tastes. You have to remember this podcast so you can remember the taste of it to see if it tastes the same after 10 more years.
We just need a reminder bot like Reddit has for our podcast. Podcast, remind me in 10 years, drink this beer.
Welcome to Hoppy Head Productions. I don't even know my name.
Well, you know what's pretty funny? Because you're making fun of, like, being old and forgetful.
Yep.
But in 10 years, you're going to be the age that I am now, so.
It's the short life.
I feel personally attacked is what I'm saying.
Oh, got you. I'll just make the joke again in 10 years.
When I'll be in my 50s and you'll be in your 40s?
Yep. It'll happen.
I mean, what's the worst that'll happen in 10 years? People will stop listening?
So you're saying we're going to get followers so they can stop listening to us in 10 years?
No, I'm saying that we won't get any listeners and we won't have to worry about that happening, so.
True. Ha, take that. Joke's on you.
Joke's on us.
So I heard it was a lovely day in the neighborhood, Danny.
Yes. So I don't know if they released the trailer for the Mr. Rogers movie starring Mr. Tom Hanks. But I don't know if you noticed the name of the production company that popped up across the screen as the trailer was starting.
Nope.
It was a Tencent production company.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a big like Chinese production company, and they're basically responsible for all of the Western games getting into China. They're almost like the mafia in a way. Like if you're like a gaming company and you want to get your game into China, you have to basically work through them.
Mm.
Like it's bad. It's so bad that like even Nintendo had to like work through them to get Pokemon Go into China.
Wow, that's pretty sad. shit's getting real.
Yeah, so, you know, whenever they talk about how they have to change movies to make the Chinese investors happy,
mm-hmm.
That's the Chinese investor they're talking about. But I don't see what they would have to change in the Mr. Rogers movie, because I don't think the Chinese had anything against Mr. Rogers or vice versa. I think he was pretty welcoming to all people.
I know, like, why would you want to say no to him?
Exactly.
It's kind of weird, though, that they're, like, the major production manager, though.
Right? Like, I don't know how much money they had to give, but... And it's like, why did a Chinese company have to convince Hollywood to make a Mr. Rogers movie?
Maybe nobody wanted to make it.
Maybe. But you got Tom Hanks, man. You gotta get that movie made before Tom Hanks dies, because I think he's the only one that can play Mr. Rogers.
He does a pretty solid job, like... I, like, never really watched the show, or if I did, I don't remember it at all. And, like, even I was, like getting, like, achy emotional. I was, like, I felt like it was, like, part of my childhood, even though I don't remember if it was. I don't remember watching it, so maybe it wasn't.
Right. Well, I remember watching it a little bit, but not too much. But, you know, when the whole Me Too movement thing kind of started, and people were like, if these people... get accused, then I don't know who to trust anymore. And like basically on that list was like Steve Irwin, Bob Ross, Mr. Rogers, and Tom Hanks. That was pretty much the list.
Mm-hmm. No, but, yeah, I remember that list.
But the trailer looks pretty good. Like, it looks like, I don't know if the guy was doing a book or a newspaper article or what, but it's basically some guy is interviewing Mr. Rogers as he's older, and it looks like the story might be told through a flashback.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, there's all sorts of, like, he just gives, like, random, like, advice to the guy, and, like, and then it, like, you know, it goes to his, like, his wife or fiance, girlfriend thing, and she's like, don't ruin my childhood, to him. And so it definitely seems like he doesn't really, like, he never followed it, so he's kind of, like, supposed to be, like, a third-party person kind of into it and trying to investigate it for what it was. And he's kind of, like, playing on, like, oh, it's not, like, that great. And I think, like, you know, the movie is supposed to be, like, one, maybe you learn some stuff about Mr. Rogers and stuff, or you kind of revisit the old neighborhood, but it's, like, him, like, breaking down whatever emotional issues he has and, like, probably coming back from it.
Have you ever seen the movie Death to Smoochie?
No.
Oh, dude, you need to watch this movie. Basically, it shows, like, the seedy underside of children's television programming, like, ties with the mafia and murder and stuff like that. And it has Robin Williams and Ed Norton are, like, the main two stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so Robin Williams was the original host, and come to find out he gets, like, caught for, like, corruption. And Ed Norton takes his place.
Yeah.
And the showrunner is, I can't remember her name, but she's in a ton of stuff. But she's basically very mistrusting and skeptical of Ed Norton's character because she's dealt with all the douchebag children's show people that don't really care about the kids. They're just in it for the money.
Yeah.
So I think that guy is kind of has that same attitude towards Mr. Rogers. Like, he's like, no, nobody can care about the kids that much. He's doing it for money, or there's something, like, or if he does care about kids, why does he care about kids this much? Is he a kitty diddler? So I think that's where, like, his wife or girlfriend or whatever tells him not to ruin her childhood, because I think he's trying to, like, expose Mr. Rogers as a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes out around Thanksgiving, which is perfect time. Kids will be, you know, go see a family movie.
It sucks that you have to work on Thanksgiving. Goes to see a movie.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, it's like, yeah, it sucks that you have to work on Thanksgiving. I mean, I had the same conversation with the person at the grocery store when I was buying my stuff today, and then I stopped over at this other place to buy some things, and I felt bad for them because they were working too, but man, it must really suck to not be able to, like, see your family so that some asshole can sit here and watch a movie. Want me to watch my movie?
You know, the problem is, like, I've worked so many holidays, I don't care. I don't give a fuck.
Right. When I was single and I worked on the air side of UPS, I would work every holiday, too, because I would have to, you know, I wouldn't go until later in the night anyway, so I'd have time to eat with my family and then get changed and go to work and make some extra money. It was nice. It was voluntary. Not forced like you. Yeah. But then this movie, another movie they released a trailer for, Sean, that I didn't want, but I'm gonna watch anyways because it looks good, is Zombieland 2.
I saw the first one and I enjoyed it. This trailer looked pretty, like, entertaining. I don't know, like, the whole, like, movie concept of, like, going after, like, the girl because, like, she ran off with a boy toy, and it's just, like, it's kind of, like, it's, like, is it worth it? I don't know. Like, hopefully I'll check it out and see it, but because I did like the first one.
Yeah, the first one, and I think a lot of the reason why people like the first one was because nobody knew what to expect. And it almost seems like they're trying to, like, go overboard with that theme in the new one, with just the zaniness of, like, Woody Harrelson, the way his personality is. Like, it seems like they're just going over the top, and I don't know if that's going to be good or not, you know? But my favorite part of the trailer, actually, is, like, when they're introducing the actors, and it's, like, Academy Award nominee Jesse Eisenberg, Academy Award nominee Woody Harrelson, Academy Award winning actress Abigail Breslin, Academy Award winner Emma Stone. And it's like, fuck, you got four Academy Award nominees and one of them's a winner in this shitty zombie movie?
Yeah, I know, right?
But then, and then at the end, when Luke Wilson pulls up with that dude that's like Jesse Eisenberg, and Emma Stone's like, what the fuck am I looking at here?
That was pretty funny. I was laughing pretty hard at that part.
And honestly, I kind of hope that part isn't in the movie. Like, they just filmed that, like, as a special, like, trailer exclusive thing or something like that, like Marvel likes to do.
Oh, yeah. That would be fantastic.
Because I think that would get old fast. As funny as it was in the trailer, I think that was the extent of how long it would be funny for.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
And then, we didn't talk about this from Comic-Con, but they released a trailer for Netflix's series of The Witcher.
Which, if you don't know, it's a video game, and...
Book series as well.
And book series, excuse me.
Well, no, because they're basing the show on the books.
Not the games.
Right. And apparently when the author sold his rights to make the game...
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal, so he basically sold it for pennies. And now, I guess... But then, I guess Netflix made up for it by what they paid him for the show.
Okay. Oh, because he didn't... They didn't... They had to buy the rights to make it a
game?
Movie.
Yes. Gotcha. Or a TV show.
Got a TV show. Correct. TV show.
But, one of the scenes in the trailer looked like it had potential to take up the mantle of Game of Thrones, of having the most pointless and random orgy scene on screen.
I mean, that's fair.
I mean, not that it won't be enjoyed to be watched, but they're just having a conversation, and meanwhile there's like 880 people behind them just partnered off in twos and threes having sex. Naked.
Naked. Lots of nakedness.
Did you play the games?
I tried. I did not, though.
Yeah, I didn't jump in. I kind of got Witcher 3. It was a free download through the Xbox Live. I know there's nudity in the games, so if that's a thing you want to do, you can have video game sex with boobies. But, so, of course, if there's video game boobies, and there's definitely going to be TV show boobies. They got Superman to play the role of Geralt, whatever his name is, the Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
So, people are pissed because they're already, like, when they're watching the trailer, like, this looks like nothing like the game, and then they're like, oh, yeah, that's because it's based on the books. And they're like, yeah, but the game's based on the books, too, and they're like, no, no. There's more stories in the books that didn't come in the game, and so we're going to do it based on that. And they're like, well, we don't fucking care about the books. We only care about the game. Like, we're all mostly illiterate.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't follow, like, I didn't play the game that much. I mean, I looked at it, and it was always, like, a cool concept, but I never, like, got into it, like, too much. So I'm pretty open to whatever they decide to do.
Yeah, I was sold with the orgy scene. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm surprised you don't watch Game of Thrones.
I will when I'll just buy the DVD box set when it goes on clearance on Amazon, because nobody wants to buy it because of season 8 sucking.
Oh man.
And you know, we talked about DC last week and their panel at Comic-Con, and we totally forgot to talk about. And by we, I mean me, to write this on the list. They released a trailer for the Harley Quinn animated show that's going to be on the DC streaming service.
I just was not overly impressed.
I think that's just because you're a sexist, Sean. You hate women.
Oh, here we go. Don't give me that shit.
Because I showed it to my wife, and she seemed very enthused about it.
That's because she loves Harley Quinn. Like, I've just never been, like, super excited about Harley Quinn. It just seems like, what else can we slap Harley Quinn on? And, like...
You mean Lady Deadpool? Is Harley Quinn Lady Deadpool, or is Deadpool Mr. Harley Quinn? Because they're basically the same character.
It is. They are the same. I was just not overly impressed. I'm not excited to watch it. I probably won't watch it.
Well, unless you pay for the DC streaming service.
That is true.
Yeah, DC stuff, it was like, here's all the stuff that's going to be our streaming service. We're like, okay, cool, so I guess I don't need to pay for that. And Marvel's like, yeah, I'm not going to pay for any new streaming services. And DC's like, cool, we got your back, bro. You don't need to pay for it. And Marvel's like, no, no, fuck you, seriously. You're gonna want to pay for it. But, like, in this one, it looks like they're going to go a little more adult, even though it is animated, like, following, like, the lines of, you know, Rick and Morty and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Adults. It looks like it might be something on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
And it also looks like they're going to kind of explore the relationship in the comics between Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn, where they're more than just friends.
They're just girls exploring.
Yes. Speaking of girls and exploring, Sean.
Yes.
See, my segue actually worked. I'm going to pat myself on the back.
We're like 2 for 2 on segues.
Yes. Now we're going to be 2 for 20 for the rest of the show, but that's fine.
Perfect.
But at the Marvel panel, they kind of talked about how Valkyrie is going to be the first lesbian character. Or bi. I don't remember if they said, like, if she's bi or fully lesbian, as Fat Mike from NoFX would say.
Mm-hmm.
And people kind of lost their shit about that. Our buddy Jeremy from The Quartering, he had a thing, and it was like, Marvel's trying to erase straight white men from their movies. And it's like, whoa, calm down, dude. Like, if any character in the Marvel Universe is going to be bi, it's probably going to be Valkyrie, right? I mean, that's like trying to say that Wonder Woman never had a lesbian experience in her entire life, even though she was, like, an adult that grew up on an island that never has seen a man in their entire life.
These are confusing times.
Well, it's not confusing if there's nobody else. I mean, it's just the way it is, right? Like, and if not Wonder Woman, at least half that island's got to have, like, gone to at least third base with another chick, right?
Probably.
And you're just naive if you're like, no, Wonder Woman would never do that. She's too pure and innocent. And it's like, but there was no men and there was only women. Like, there's no logic behind your argument there, bro.
That is true.
But then the other thing that they're kind of like losing their shit over is, and by them, I mean like Jeremy and his followers,
mm-hmm.
is, so Tom Holland was asked during his press tour if he would have a problem if Spider-Man was gay. Right?
Yeah, I remember, and we kind of talked about this.
Right, but it's like, you know, how was he supposed to answer? Like, no, fuck that. Spider-Man will never be gay. He can't say that. Even if he thought that, he could never say that. Yeah. So he was like, yeah, I guess I'd have no problem with Spider-Man being gay. It'd be an interesting story. And now,
breaking news, Spider-Man's gay.
Right. It went from Tom Holland said he would be okay with Spider-Man being gay, to Tom Holland wants Spider-Man to be gay, to Spider-Man is the gayest of gays.
I mean, he wears some really tight spandex.
Right. But it's just bullshit that, like, go back and look at the original source, because then you have, like, the people that just get all their news from The Quartering, and are like, oh yeah, Jeremy's right. He wouldn't lie to me. Oh, man. But I'm slowly trying to get you to watch wrestling, Sean.
I know. Speaking of weird erotic phobias.
Yes, speaking of possibly gay motives. Nothing shouts homosexual like shouting, being surrounded by a bunch of sweaty men watching half-naked dudes hugging while being oiled up. So this last Monday, for some reason, on Raw, Monday Night Raw, they felt like they needed to have a reunion and bring back all these old wrestlers to boost ratings.
Mm-hmm.
But they also didn't want to interrupt their normal Raw proceedings and disrupt any current storylines. So they had, and from what it was, just basically like this awkward like clusterfuck.
Okay.
And I was reading some stuff, and apparently they had bits planned with all these wrestlers, and as they showed up to get their, like, physicals and stuff, like, almost all of them were not cleared for any physical activity. Like, they couldn't even, like, take a bump in the ring. So, like, the last time they did a thing with, like, bringing back to old people was, like, their 25th anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
And they had AJ Styles and the other two guys that were with him in Japan in the Bullet Club, which was basically, like, a kind of a ripoff of DX.
Yeah.
And so DX came out, and they were, like, friends. They were, like, high-fiving in the ring, and they came out, and somebody came out to stop them, and they all beat them up. And now, for whatever reason, the Bullet Club guys are being fought by, against by the DX people. So it's just weird and confusing. Like, I thought they were, like, why are you trying to squash them? Why, you know, they're trying to build them up again. But then Razor Ramon, who used to be, like, a badass dude, like,
yeah.
He can't even walk to the ring anymore, let alone take a bump.
Oh, jeez.
And they brought Hulk Hogan back.
Oh, my God.
And there's a meme going around with, what is his, I have this thing, he's a wrestler, five-time, Booker T, that's his name. Booker T, a black wrestler. And there's this meme where, like, Hulk Hogan is, like, celebrating whatever, and you just see Booker T in the back just giving him this, like, stink face look of, like, you motherfucker, if we weren't in public, I would kick your ass right now. Because of all the racist shit that Hulk Hogan said at one point about his daughter dating a black dude.
Oh, man.
But then they tried to, like, bring out... They already had, like, a three-man announcing team, and then they brought out, quote-unquote, guest announcers. Guys, I guess, that couldn't take bumps, so they just made them announcers.
Mm-hmm.
And the guest announcer would, like, try to talk about what's going on with them, and then the current ring announcers are trying to announce the what's going on in the match.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty bad. Like, there was no chemistry at all. The one storyline that's, I guess, kind of funny, but there's this one, like, dorky-looking dude that's won this title called the 24/7 Championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a super gimmicky championship to where basically, like, anytime, anywhere, if you can get a referee and you can pin the person, you can win, you can take the pelt from them.
Yeah.
And so there was one bit where this guy got the guy that had the belt got married to this really hot chick, and he was getting ready to consummate his marriage, and somebody came in and pinned him while he was in bed with his new wife, and took the belt. And so now it's been a while, like a couple weeks, if not a couple months, since that happened. And the guy still hasn't had sex with his wife because he's trying to get the belt back.
Oh my gosh!
But like the only moment that people actually like didn't hate was Mick Foley was in the ring,
mm-hmm.
kind of just talking a little bit. And as he was talking, the lights kind of started flickering,
mm-hmm.
and they went out. And that's one of the things wrestling companies love to do is like, oh no, the lights are out. I wonder what happened. And then they come on and there's just a random person, like a person in the ring. Yeah. For a while it was the Undertaker and WWE, and then the Wyatt family took over, and now Bray Wyatt was gone for a while. Doesn't have a family anymore, but it was him again and his new persona, The Fiend.
Yep.
And that's what I made you watch some videos of his new family show that was basically like a take on Pee Wee Herman's show.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous and over the top.
Oh man, I was gonna try to get you to watch the whole thing because there's 9 episodes, but it was about 27 minutes long, and I'm like, dude, he's not gonna make it that long. I'll send him like the first one and the one where they like introduce the Fiend mm-hmm. character. That's his wrestling persona.
Is it just like a gradual, like through the episodes, like it starts to flicker, like The Fiend?
Yes. Like a descent into madness, yes.
Yeah, nice.
And he even talks about, like, in one, he... Because when he first came into the WWE, his wrestling name was Husky Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's one where, like, there's a pig, Husky... I can't remember what his pig's last name is, but it's, like, Husky something. And he's kind of talking about how exercising will get you in better... You need to exercise and eat better and stuff. And, mm-hmm. of course, the pig has, like, the Augustus Gloop German accent. And then like Vince McMahon comes in, a Vince McMahon puppet comes in with like devil horns. He's like, if you two don't get your act together, and he goes to tell him you're fired. And he's like, whoa, boss, I got it, don't worry. And so he starts doing this, like he changes into this workout thing. He starts doing this thing in the song and dancing called mm-hmm. the Muscle Man Dance. Let's do the Muscle Man Dance. It's just, But they have, like, the sound effects, like, when he does things, there's, like, and then the audience, like, boos or cheers, like, the kids, quote-unquote, audience.
Yeah.
So, his first match is supposed to be against Finn Balor, who, he also has a persona that, whenever he's basically gonna win, guaranteed to win the match, known as the Demon.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't do it, even though the fans want him to do it all the time. He doesn't do it that often because it's like a 2 or 3 hour makeup process to put all the makeup on for, because he's basically painted like head to toe in black and red paint.
So if he is wearing the paint, then he wins the match?
So far, yes.
Okay.
And
it also makes sense because it goes with the persona.
Right. Like Finn Balor is the wrestler, and then when he's like trapped or cornered or whatever, the Demon comes out, and the Demon is like overpowered. So he's supposed to be taking a long hiatus after this match, SummerSlam. Mm. He asked for some time off to kind of, like, I guess, heal his body and collect his thoughts. And so the rumors and the innuendo are that Bray Wyatt is going to come out as the Demon, but Bray Wyatt's going to beat him anyways and cement the Fiend as being the new unstoppable force in the WWE.
I mean, it is an interesting character persona. Like, the mask is pretty creepy.
It kind of looks like the Joker mask. In the current Batman, where he, like, basically cut off his face and then, like, used leather belts to strap it back on.
No, it definitely does. It's pretty intense.
And one of the cool things that WWE is doing, and we'll see if it actually works or not, but they're kind of starting to lose their PG rating and getting back to a little bit PG, a little more than just PG-13, back along the lines when they had the Attitude Era, when Stone Cold and The Rock was there and stuff, and Stone Cold was flipping everybody off, and they had bra and panty matches.
Yeah.
Like, I won't know if they'll go that far, but they're definitely, like, not concerned about the ratings, because they brought Paul Heyman to kind of do the Monday Night Show,
mm-hmm.
who came from, like, ECW, Extreme Wrestling, Extreme Championship Wrestling, and then Eric Bischoff, who was running WCW. He's going to do the SmackDown show, and he was the one that brought, like, created the NWO.
Okay.
But, because soon, I don't know when it's supposed to start, but USA is losing the TV contract for SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to go on Fox Sports. It'll be a Fox show. So they want to kind of make Monday night be like the drama soap opera show, and the SmackDown be the actual athletic wrestling show.
Okay.
Because they're going to actually put it on a sports channel as opposed to the USA network.
Is it still, like, divided? Like, they only, like, some wrestlers only show up on one of the programs?
It used to be that way, but now they created this thing called the Wildcat Rule, where they mm-hmm. can have up to, like, I think it's, like, 5 wrestlers each week will appear on both shows.
Okay, gotcha.
Because, I think they only do that for Fox, because it's, like, Fox is going to want all the hot wrestlers. Like, why are you paying all that money if our viewers aren't going to be able to see somebody that's doing good, you know, or somebody they want to see.
Yeah, plus I think it makes it to where you could mix up the matches, but you could still give people, like, extra time off. Or, like, the weekend off or something.
Yes. But, talking about Overpowered, Sean, you finished an anime that I started watching called Witchcraft Works, and I thought it was, when you told me the title, I thought it was Witchcraft Works.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it's 3 words, not 2.
So, because did you finish the first episode?
I've watched the first 3.
Gotcha. So what were your thoughts?
It's pretty good. My only fear is that at some point it becomes like a harem show, which I don't see how, but then again, it's anime, anything's possible.
Don't overestimate anybody.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that she's a good character, but super overpowered. Like, you never feel like there's really any danger.
Yeah.
Does that change?
It does change, but I just feel like the story doesn't really go anywhere. Like, it just, like, stuff happens. There's no character development. Like, there's not really, like, a harem going on or anything. Definitely, like, the harem action doesn't, like, happen, so you don't really understand, like, why, like, the love story between the two, like, really gets going. like it, you would imagine it to. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and I'm okay with that. Like, I don't want a love story. I mean, I understand that, like, he's like a kind of a social outcast that's never, like, really talked to anybody, especially her, even though they've, like, sat next to each other at school and stuff, and mm-hmm. she's supposed to be, like, the most beautiful, popular, smart girl at school that smells sweet, apparently, and is soft, in his words. And it's like, she has, like, the, like, all the school, like, follows her around, and, like, they're starting to, like, hate on him because she's hanging out with him. It's like, who is he? I enjoy that kind of a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, honestly, and, like, this probably isn't what it's supposed to be, but my favorite part of the show is the closing credits.
It is a pretty funny credit scene.
It kind of reminds me of, I had the shows, like, the one where the girls were in the battle armor.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I forget what it's called, though.
And so, like, anytime that, like, whatever girl was, like, the focus of that show, or Data Live, whichever girl mm-hmm. was the focus of the Data Live show, they would be the leader of the parade.
Yeah.
But basically, the end is, like, because a bunch of witches, and they're all being, like, basically, they're singing and dancing, looking all chibi style, but they're being, like, tortured or murdered. In the ways that you would torture and murder witches.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I couldn't get it. I finished it, but it is definitely not, like, I don't think it's all that great. I think it just kind of spins around towards the end, and there's no real interesting conclusion or anything, like, enjoyable in how it ends.
So. I mean, the biggest thing in there is, like, the innuendo of why they're of the one set of witches are trying to capture the kid, and why she has to protect him is they're going after what he has inside, his white mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, what? And they're like, they just kind of don't explain it, but they just keep saying how they want his white stuff. And it's like, I hope they're not talking about what I think they're talking about. They're not explaining it, but they're also kind of leading towards you to believe that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's, like, the most perverted part of the whole anime. Like, it doesn't get any worse than that.
Which I'm glad, like, you know, we don't always need animes to be, you know, like, fan service-y.
What? Alright.
I said we don't always. Like, my roommate is a cat. It would have been a little awkward to have that cat, you know, walking around in the with jiggle physics.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But another anime that I made you watch... Netflix exclusive high score girl. What are your thoughts on that one, Sean?
This is honestly one of my favorite animes that I've watched this year. It was a very complicated, it wasn't a complicated story, but it was a very progression story. Like you would have like 2 to 3 episodes, like, and it would explain a story arc, and then like it would like fast forward from them being kids to middle school, to high school, and it was just very entertaining, the emotional roller coaster between the two kids, and then you throw in another girl, and it just kind of gets really, like, it gets just very, it's like there's a fun, dramatic part to it, and then there's, like, some good comedy relief to, like, break down the tension. But it is a roller coaster of emotions, and it does end pretty nicely. But it's definitely one of my favorite ones so far this year.
So do you want to hear the good news then, Sean?
You're not going to watch it?
I've already finished it. They announced that season 2 is going to be made.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I wonder how they're going to go, because, like, I'm definitely going to watch it. I just hope it's not, like, a letdown.
I know.
I felt like it ended, like, very nice. Like
I felt the same way.
I wouldn't be, like, angry if it never came out. Because it ended, like, it felt like a completed story.
And I'm going to be honest with you, Sean. As I was almost done watching the first episode, I almost sent you a text saying, you know what, never mind, don't bother watching this show, it's crap. But then I'm like, no... Especially with anime, you have to give it at least a couple episodes before they start seeing, like, their direction. And, like, part of it was, like, his attitude, but then it's like, he's, like, in sixth grade. Like, he's acting like a sixth grade boy would act.
Exactly.
Who's obsessed with video games. But then the other thing was, the main character is supposed to be, like, the most beautiful, smartest girl in school,
mm-hmm.
and she never says a fucking word.
That part is a little bit weird.
And it's that way in the manga, too.
Oh, really?
Yes, I work with a guy, and he's much more into anime than I am, and I ended up, like, working with him last week, and I asked him, I was like, you watching the show? And he's like, he didn't say he was watching the show, but he said he was reading the manga, and I said, does she talk in the book? And he's like, barely. Like, she might have said a couple words, but nothing really mm-hmm. much.
That's funny.
So, she does a lot of him, like, trying to guess what she's thinking. She starts attacking him or pulling him where she wants him to go. Her home life is kind of fucked up because she's being groomed to basically take over the family business because her older sister didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's also co-produced by Square Enix.
Yeah.
And so it's a journey. Not only is it a journey through these kids' lives from, like you said, sixth grade to junior high to high school, getting jobs. It's also a journey through video game history. Like, if you're into, like, especially if you're into fighting games, like, all the different, like, Darkstalkers and
mm-hmm.
Virtua Fighter, the different Street Fighters.
Dude, I remember Virtua Fighter way back in the day.
Oh, yes.
Dude, that shit was crazy. I remember that.
I love that game. And my favorite character, actually, he's also now in the Soul Calibur series. Mm-hmm. Yoshimitsu, the nice. Skeleton-y samurai that used the sword.
Mm-hmm.
I would always use him to fight. But but then not only do they do the arcades, but they also do the consoles. Like, the first Nintendo coming out, to PlayStation versus Sega versus, you know?
Yeah.
It's a virtual history of video games.
Yeah, no, it was really, that part was a cool flashback, too.
I mean, I definitely recommend watching it. It's on Netflix, so you don't have to, like, if you already have Netflix, you don't have to worry about getting another subscription service.
Yeah.
Just about 13 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me longer to finish because I'm horrible at binge-watching anything. Like, on Friday, I only had 3 episodes to watch, and it took me, like, 6 hours to do it.
Jeez.
So I'd pause and, like, go look on Reddit, get up, go do some stuff, go on my computer, look at the ceiling, you know, fun stuff like that.
Wow.
But the main thing is that when they're in sixth grade, he meets this girl, and she's way better at him than gaming, and he thought he was, like, the ultimate champion of mm-hmm. the arcades. And so basically the story is him trying to work to beat her and train.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty funny because semi-recently they had a Smash Brothers tournament, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And a 15-year-old girl, amateur, using a mid-tier character, defeated an actual pro.
And then she got hated on.
Right.
Because how the gaming industry works.
Right. Between the fact that, like, they were, like, well, she must have cheated, like, they couldn't just accept the fact that she won, and then, so there were people pissed about that, and then people were pissed that she was getting too much credit and too much attention for only winning one game, and it's like, but she's a kid who's an amateur who used a shitty character, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she used the character from, it's one of the, like, the more kiddie games that, like, there's, like, memes about her, Animal Crossing?
Yeah.
That's the game, yes. And so, they're like, you're giving her too much credit. And it's like, no, she, give her, like, her due for, like, we're not gonna, like, put her on a pedestal and build statues, but let her get her praise for a little bit. Like, she deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it got so bad that she ended up, like, taking a hiatus and then quitting Smash Brothers community just because, you know, she's like, fuck, I would have rather just lost that game. Like,
yeah.
Someone did an interview with her. She's like, the what I'm dealing with isn't worth like me winning that shitty, that stupid game. Like, I'd rather have just lost it and never had to deal with this.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Right. If you wonder why women and girls aren't playing video games online, it's because of shit like this.
Yep.
Like, I was reading a thing on Reddit, and someone was saying that she had her name as her gamer tag, and she was getting all these like messages and stuff, and then on Overwatch, and then she changed her gamer tag, and she hasn't, to like a character from a book, like her favorite character that has mm-hmm. a male name.
Yeah.
And she's been left alone ever since.
I believe that.
Unfortunately, yes. Which, I guess they did a poll, somebody, and they talked about how 74% of adult gamers say that they were harassed online at some point, which, it depends on how the question is worded, because if, you know...
I could say if it's I was harassed. I was just trying to play Hunter and Gambit, and I kept doing Blade Barrage, and this guy spammed me with hate mail. I was like, bro, relax.
Well, you know what? I have a worse story, because when I tried to play Destiny,
mm-hmm.
I was in this guild, and they were like fucking with me and like not showing me which way I needed to go. And then when I would like jump up on the jump puzzle that I'd never done before, that I didn't even know where I was supposed to go because they were already like halfway through the map. Like, one of the guys would like backtrack just to push me off the ledge and then make fun of me for not being able to make the jump puzzles. And these are supposed to be my fucking friends.
Those bastards.
I mean, you're one of them, so shut the fuck up. And then you're wondering why I don't play Destiny 2, Sean.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
I couldn't change my gamer tag. Because you knew it was me.
Exactly. At least now there's, you don't have to deal with Mike and Gecko if you join this clan, so you'll be better off.
Maybe. I don't know, man. I'm already like, I already have a PTSD from that experience.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, Mike and like, Gecko still is like, well, like, you don't even know how to jump. And I'm like, dude, I did that raid once, and you didn't show me where I needed to go. I'm like, do I jump here or here? Like... Wait, like, your first time you tried to do that jump puzzle, did you clear it your little first time? Probably no. So, fuck you guys. Not that I'm bitter or anything.
No, of course not.
Speaking of bitter, man, we talked about during E3 how Dr. Disrespect decided to break the law by filming his stream in the bathroom. And I thought he only did it once, but apparently he had walked into multiple bathrooms.
What a bastard. Exactly.
So the way that was handled is, like, instead of, like, the cops being called because he was breaking the law, like, they basically took away his E3 badge and kicked him out. And then Twitch suspended him indefinitely.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you know how long indefinite suspension was, Sean?
How long?
2 weeks.
Wow.
He's back on Twitch.
Jeez.
And there's this other streamer, and you know, there's a lot of like female streamers. There's one recently that they're kind of like Reddit is going after because she's violating some of their terms, and she's not getting punished. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, if it was a man, they would have been punished. And it's like, well, no, because Dr. Disrespect wasn't. Apparently, if you have enough viewers or bring Twitch enough money, then you can do whatever you want, including break the law, Sean. You just get a slap on the wrist for 2 weeks, and hopefully, the story had died down enough that most media outlets would have forgotten about it.
That's what happens, man. That's what happens.
Money's more important than credibility. And I was reading the story on Reddit. Apparently some streamer got banned because they thought that he had too many bots followers. Because he had, like, he didn't stream that often, but he had a fairly large number of followers. But they said, how come when you stream, nobody's talking? Like, it's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up, instead of, like, researching or whatever, they sent him a poorly worded, like, passive-aggressive letter and then banned him. on Switch, Sean, you know, we talked about they released the Battle Royale Tetris game.
Yeah.
Tetris 99.
With all sorts of... playing with multiple, up to like 100 people in a chat room and shit.
Yeah, basically it's the Tetris Battle Royale. It's like the Tetris PUBG or Fortnite. Well, they're going to release that on mobile, Sean, soon.
Oh, jeez.
And it's free for the Switch, so I can't imagine it not being free on the phone, but I can't imagine them also not wanting to make money. So I don't know, at some point, they're going to make you watch ads or microtrans something.
I mean, probably. I mean, they can only... Game can only get so big and not make money.
Exactly. So is this might be the start of having esports where everyone's just sitting around playing a game on their phone, Sean.
Oh, man. What a terrible day to be alive.
And well, you know what's even worse day to be alive, Sean?
What day?
Is Budweiser.
Ugh. What did those bastards do?
They filed a patent to name them, to have the right to call themselves the official beer of esports.
Wow.
And so, and that's like a super broad thing, because it's not like the official beer of PUBG or the official beer of Fortnite or Overwatch or anything like that. That's because, I mean, right now they say they're like the official beer of the NFL, Bud Light. But apparently...
Well, that makes sense, because NFL is a title. Is a yes. Corporation. Esports is a very... It's like a football.
Or not even NFL. A football. Of athletics. We're like the... You know, of all the game, of all the sports. We're the official beer of all the sports. Hockey, football, basketball, baseball.
Yeah.
Curling. Of all the sports. But I'm sure, like, that just sounds like something that, like, Budweiser would do. Because they don't really, like, their board of directors probably has no idea what esports are. But they're like, we need to get that title so that no one else can take it from us. And it's like, no one was going to take that title because that's not a thing. But apparently, like, NFL players drink Bud Light. Esports players drink Bud Heavy, Sean. The red can.
Bud Heavy?
Yes.
Well, they're bastards.
You would think it would be the opposite because, like, the football players are at least, like, you know, doing wind sprints and shit. Well, the esports players are just sitting down behind a computer with a controller. Like, you would think they would need to drink the Bud Light.
Right?
So, and I know they filed a couple other patents basically along the same line. So it'll be interesting to see if they're actually going to use them, because major corporations also have a habit of filing trademarks, not so that they can use them, but just to prevent other people from using them.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And
bastard, so.
Yes. Another thing we talked about from E3 was the Devolver Digital panel. One of the things they mentioned was they had a bootleg game pack, right? Mm-hmm. Where, like, you can play their games, where you can play their games, but they're basically, like, bootlegged copies.
Yeah.
That's a real thing, Sean. And during the Steam Summer Sale, it was that package was included.
Mm-hmm.
It's $5, and you think you get 8 games, but for the Steam Summer Sale, Sean, you got a whole whopping 1% off. So instead of $4.99, it was $4.95.
Oh boy, the world! That's some good savings right there.
That seems like the most Devolver Digital thing ever to do, right? Like, because people will buy it anyways. I mean, it's only $5, so it's like, fuck it, I'll buy it. Who cares? But I don't have Steam. I'm not PC Master Race. I'm console scrub.
Right. I'm surprised, man. The most famous game in the world right now is a porn game. I can't believe you're not on that.
Right? Oh, yeah, I forgot I sent you that link talking about how, because Steam relaxed their set standards, like one of the top-selling games was a full-on porn game.
Yeah. You build your anime girl, and then you give her a personality, then you have to go try and date her. That's freaking ridiculous.
Why would you want her to have a personality? You just need holes and a heartbeat, right?
Something like that. Oh, man.
At least that's what my waifu pillow is. Well, actually, she doesn't have a heartbeat. And she didn't have holes. She didn't have holes.
No. Poor you.
Well, no, I'm not saying she doesn't. I'm saying she didn't.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Just, you can just publicly shame me. I'm used to it. Oh, man. So, are we going to need to take some time off for your moving, Sean, or do you think we'll be able to handle this?
Mm, That's a good question. I don't know. Well, I know it's not like next week.
So. But soon.
Yeah, at Sean, some point.
I'm going to break the news, Sean. You're moving to beautiful Guido, New Jersey.
Not because
of the people, but that's the name of the town. What? Am I going to offend somebody from New Jersey and they're just going to stop listening?
Fair point. It's hard to counter that.
If anything, I've learned from watching like the Howard Stern movie, if I start making people mad and saying things that they don't like, then they'll listen more to hear things that I say that are going to make them mad and they don't like.
That's fair.
So, but until then, we'll let everybody know if we're going to have to take a hiatus.
Pretty much. We'll see, though. Probably not anytime soon.
No.
Maybe in a few weeks. I don't know. We'll see.
Let's roll it. That's soonish. But
I will say, though,
until then,
if you are not
we'll
watching,
be here to torture you next week.
Make sure you watch The Boys, so that way you know what we're talking about, because I'm talking about it next week.
I know, I gotta watch that. It's 8 episodes, they're about an hour each, Amazon Prime.
Exactly.
Watch The Boys.
It's 8 episodes, hour long, so it's only 8 hours of your life. That's less than what you have to commit to Game of Thrones.
Or your day at work.
Exactly.
And you'll get much more enjoyment.
Exactly. All right, everybody, make sure that you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Google Play, Podbean, all those, Stitcher, all those places. I can't remember them all.
Untapped.
So you could see what we're drinking, because, you know, we like to drink.
But not just what, but also where.
Where? It gives you a rate. We'll tell you even what we think about it. And Danny likes to take pictures of the beer, so you'll at least get to know what it looks like.
You don't take pictures, Sean? You don't want to get the badges? It's like Pokemon, dude. You got to collect them all.
I'm like 50-50 right now. It's like 50-50.
Well, I figured generally I'm going to post the beer I drink on Instagram as well, so I might as well take the picture and put it on Untapped and the Instagrams.
That makes sense. You definitely work harder for the show than I do.
Well, I guess you're the, it's like the Pet Shop Boys song. I've got the brains, you've got the looks. Let's make lots of money.
Exactly.
Me, it's Mike. I do the work. You spend the money. You pay the money, so you don't have to work.
Fair enough. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
All right, everybody.